From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Peter's Pentecost, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Know How to Wait. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. He that believeth shall not make haste. He shall make haste to keep the Lord's commandments, but he shall not make haste in any impatient or improper sense. He shall not haste to run away, for he shall not be overcome with the fear which causes panic. When others are flying hither and thither as if their wits had failed them, the believer shall be quiet, calm, and deliberate, and so shall be able to act wisely in the hour of trial. He shall not haste in his expectations, craving his good things at once and on the spot, but he will wait God's time. Some are in a desperate hurry to have the bird in hand, for they regard the Lord's promise as a bird in the bush, not likely to be theirs. Believers know how to wait. He shall not haste by plunging into wrong or questionable action. Unbelief must be doing something, and thus it works its own undoing. But faith makes no more haste than good speed, and thus it is not forced to go back sorrowfully by the way which it followed heedlessly. How is it with me? Am I believing, and am I therefore keeping to the believer's pace, which is walking with God? Peace, fluttering spirit. Oh, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Heart, see that thou do this at once.
To thy God to order and provide.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with verses 22 through 36 of chapter 2, Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. This passage forms the prototype of all New Testament soul-winning preaching. In treating this sermon, Dr. Cairns has emphasized the importance of both exposition and exhortation in preaching. Peter's preaching was personal. It was delivered in language that was easily understood. Furthermore, the preaching was full of Christ, It was doctrinal, scriptural preaching. It dealt honestly with men, showing them their sin. And most of all, it was powerful preaching, blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now to continue this message called Peter's Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
There is one gospel common to the whole Bible. There is one church common to the whole Bible. There is one elect people common to the whole Bible. Oh, I want you to know that this is one integrated volume of eternal truth. Of course, it has a very practical application. If Peter, inspired of God, proved every proposition from the Old Testament scriptures, how much more does a preacher today need to get back to scriptural preaching and establish every point by the Word of God? It amazes me the number of sermons that I hear which announce a text. And to quote Dr. Bob Jr., it is only a pretext. It's not a text. It becomes a platform from which the preacher will plunge into a discourse which from there on, in many cases, will have absolutely no reference to the Word of God. Or if it has reference, it will simply take a text, isolate it from its original meaning and context, and will go on allowing the preacher's mind to go into all the ramifications of his own ideas. That's modern preaching. There's nothing wrong with illustrations. But when preaching gets to be 95% storytelling, there's something wrong. Something wrong. When we are asked to believe things without reference to the Word of God, when we are asked to accept positions without reference to the Word of God, when sinners are exhorted to come to Jesus without reference to the Word of God, there is something wrong with that kind of preaching. Oh, it must be a sermon built line upon line and precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture, argument upon argument with the proof of the Holy Ghost upon it. It's the kind of preaching was preached here. It was scriptural preaching. My friend, scriptural preaching is the only kind of preaching that leads souls ultimately to Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord can bless even the slightest word that's dropped. But oh, we should not neglect the prototype. We should not neglect the divine pattern. Get to the Word of God. You'll see how I haven't time to go through in detail all his scripture arguments, but you'll see how he uses the scriptures. He immediately goes to verse 24. He's establishing the proposition of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, how does he establish it? Well, he could say, we saw him. He could line up 500 brethren and say, we saw him all at one time. That's good evidence. We'll hold in any court of law in the world. But he doesn't. Oh, he goes on to speak of his witness, but he says, let's get to the Word of God. He says, David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, I want you to notice this. Verse 26. I believe as David's flesh, my flesh shall rest in hope. David knew he was going to live and he was going to die. And he says, but I have hope. What is the hope? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now David, as he goes on to argue here, did die. He did see corruption. His body did waste away and he was in his sepulchre to that day. Is the scripture a lie then? Ah, no, says Peter. He's speaking of great David's greater son. And David had hope because Christ had the hope and the knowledge of his resurrection. David could go to his grave in hope that his greater son, God manifest in the flesh, would rise from the dead. That he was loosed from the pains of death. That his body saw no corruption. It's a wonderful thing, that. You know, I say this in passing, for it is a perplexing thing. I was once asked to go
to see a bank manager back home, very intellectual character, who had read reams and reams of theology. In fact, I must give the man his due. He knew more theology than almost any minister I've talked to. He knew it all. He had talked to archbishops and theologians and professors, and they could never answer his questions. And one question he had, he said, well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the keystone of Christianity. I said, that's right. He said, well, now, if you believe equally that Jesus Christ is God, how can God die? How can God die? When I talked about the dual nature of Christ, he wasn't interested. How can God die? You know, he missed one of the greatest things in Scripture. Death is the separation of body and soul. And when the human body and the human soul of Jesus Christ were separated, that was death. But the eternal Word, the Son of God, was still united to the human soul. And let me tell you, he still maintained his union with the human body. That's why even after 3 days lying in death, the body of Jesus Christ was flawlessly perfect. Now, a body that lies for 3 days, especially in the heat of the Middle East, will be rotten with corruption. But you see, the eternal Word still maintained that personal union with the body. His death was separation of body and soul. But I tell you, his soul could not be left in hell in the realm of the dead, as the Word signifies. And his body could not corrupt in the grave. Ah, my friend, this is what David's great hope was. And he says, I have hope because Christ will conquer death. And that's how Peter preached. That's how the Savior himself preached. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Our hope is in a living Savior. Our hope is scripturally based. It's soundly based in the passion and powerful resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, this was scriptural preaching. Just a wee word before I leave the scriptural part of it. There are people who look at this sermon and they say, for instance, verse 34, David is not ascended into the heavens, and they say, therefore the Old Testament saints are not in heaven. And they seem to have scripture for it. David is not ascended into the heavens, full stop. It's an answer to everything. But it's not. Every student of English language and literature will know that one of the most graphic ways of speech and of writing is the use of what is known as the historic present. A good storyteller will always, or very often, use the present tense to speak of things that are long since past. It gives it life, it brings it up to date, it gives it an impact which otherwise would be lost. And you will notice that that's exactly what is being used here, because we read, he saith, not he said, he saith. In other words, this is a use of this historic present, and what the 34th verse is saying is, David, when he said these words, was not ascended into the heavens, but he said, Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand. That couldn't have been spoken to David, for he wasn't in heaven. He was on earth writing the words. It was spoken of one in heaven, and that one is Christ. It was a prophecy of Christ resurrected. So you will see the next scriptural thrust, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected according to the scriptures, Christ exalted to the right hand of God according to the scriptures, with the word of the Father sounding in his ears, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. There is a tremendous prophetic importance to those words, as well as a tremendous doctrinal importance. Sit thou in my right hand, the place of acceptance, the place of the finished work, the place where God acknowledges the precious blood, the place of power, the place of intercession. Sit on my right hand until. We noticed last week, the next great event in the prophetic calendar is given to us in the words of Peter, that notable day of the Lord. And the Lord says, sit in my right hand until that day comes. Until I make your enemies your footstool. Thank God the victory belongs to Christ. When every enemy is under his feet, then will he step forth in power and in great glory. Scriptural preaching. It was faithful preaching. It dealt with men honestly. I was just reading the article on the Garden Grove pastor out in California and his evangelistic methods of making people feel good, telling them how good they are. Let me say this. It's not just Dr. Schuller that does that. You'll hear that kind of rubbish almost everywhere you go. Making people feel good. We had a rascal, used to belong to the Free Presbyterian Church, used to want to be a Free Presbyterian minister. I think took umbrage that we would never take him. We have an old saying at home, if you can't make it in Northern Ireland, all you've got to do is go to Canada. They're that hard up for ministers there. They'll take the devil if they put a surplus on. I believe they have taken the devil in many cases. And he went out. Next thing we knew, he was a doctor of divinity, an MA. He forgot to put the D after it, but still, he had the string of degrees after his name. I think they cost about $10 each. And next thing we knew, he was engaged in a comfort ministry. Now, there's nothing wrong with a comfort ministry as long as it's scriptural. But his ministry now is making everybody feel good. Writing to Roman Catholic newspapers, praising them up. And there's now no difference between saint and sinner. You just got to make people feel good. I want to tell you, if you'd been listening to Peter on the day of Pentecost, you wouldn't have felt very good. And if I make you feel that you're not a bad fellow after all, I have missed the point, or else you have been asleep. My friend Peter was preaching, and he talked about their wicked hands. He talked about their vile, ungodly acts. He talked about their sinful Christ rejection. He talked about them in such clear, explicit terms that they squirmed under his preaching. Oh, I wouldn't want any sinner to come in and hear me preach and think that he was fairly good and decent at the bottom of it all. I'm telling you, take off the makeup. Take off the powder and the paint of your own self-righteousness, and underneath you'll find a heart that is cancerous with sin, a heart that's full and rotten with ungodliness, a heart that's leprous in its uncleanness, a heart that's depraved and vile, Christless and ungodly. And my friend, if you can see a strand of good in it, you're the greatest dreamer I know. You can see what God Almighty says doesn't exist. Now, he was faithful in his preaching. Thank God it was powerful preaching. To look at the first verse of next week's passage, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. It had instantaneous effects. You know, that makes me realize what we have been stressing all along. You can have all these characteristics. You can have personal preaching. Preaching that's easily understood, preaching that exalts Christ, and preaching that's doctrinal and scriptural and seeks to be faithful. My friend, without the visitation of the Holy Ghost, there'd be no power. That's what made this sermon altogether different from so many other sermons. The Holy Ghost came down upon the preached word. And I think that we have got to come back to square one. We have got to realize our urgent, desperate need of the visitation of the Holy Ghost. My, how humbling it is to this preacher and every other preacher to realize when I have prepared as best I can, when I have prayed as faithfully as I know how, when I have preached with all the passion and honesty of which I'm capable, at the end of the day, without the Holy Ghost and His power, it'll all fail. Oh, may God give us powerful preaching.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.